Chapter 13. Zidorov went back to his cell and pulled up some files from his terminal. Some were ones he'd already studied right at the start. Others were older, ones he'd intended to get around to but hadn't had the chance. He cross-referenced Udmil's name against the legal deposits on civil marriages. He pulled up births and deaths records from the municipal holdings. Then he delved into the mass of financial reports he'd commissioned from the analysers. At the time, he'd asked for them out of routine thoroughness, not expecting ever to use them. Now they took on a new interest for him. Nothing in there would have given him any clue that anything was wrong before he'd spoken to Alina. Now, however, he saw signs that what she had said could well have been true. Udmil's industrial holdings had looked to be in trouble in the months prior to her marriage to Mordak. There were even references in the reports, most redacted, to interventions from Varangantua's lending houses. Hard to imagine that now. There was nothing, though, to suggest what might have been going on. Once the joint enterprise with Mordak was made official, it all got much better. Such things were decades old. No wonder it was not more widely known about. He made some notes, then sent a few messages. One was to Vipa, in the Medicaid bay, who answered straight away. "Any change, Medicaid?" Zidorov asked.
"She's stable, Probator. We might pull her through. Want me to let you know if she regains consciousness?"
"I'd appreciate it. Whatever the hour, let me know." Then he was on the move again, reviewing the list of names he'd extracted while on the road. They scrolled down his retinal implant one by one. Just as before, Subject 8 was the one that seemed most likely to yield a result. By the time he'd reached the Luxor, he'd absorbed the main points he needed. The man he'd selected was called Ginald Paravov. He was a Yergeyina native, a member of a family that had lived in the sector for a very long time. The Paravovs were moderately wealthy, making their money in Medicaid supplies over the course of a few generations. Ginald now ran a clinic of his own, specialising in the higher-end commercial treatments, cosmetic enhancement, psychiatric disorders, and most lucrative of all, rejuvenate technologies. The demand for such treatment was constant, whatever the economic reality. Those who wished to stave off the dead hand of age had to be rich. They also had to be committed. The procedures were, so he'd always been told, painful and invasive. Most clinics made a virtue of their exclusivity. They made no attempt to keep their prices anything other than high. It looked good to be expensive. People took it as a sign of competence. Some, though, saw a gap at the lower end of things. The slate needed was still eye-watering, much more than Zidorov would ever have been able to pull together, but it wasn't quite the preserve of Tereshova-level plutocrats. Paravov seemed to have positioned himself in that segment, discreetly advertising better-value rejuve treatments. He'd never strayed onto the Bastion's radar before, save for a couple of minor tithe extraction irregularities a while back. In theory, the Inspectorate of Medicaid Practitioners should have been keeping a keen eye on such institutes, but in practice, that shower were easier to bribe than a void docker with a gambling habit. Paravov's place followed the rather literal naming conventions of the trade, endless health for citizens. As Zidorov entered the parking lot, he took a good look at the exterior. The building was sited in the Novgi Habclave, a middling region lodged between the crime-infested lower-grade claves and the gritty attractions of Havduk. It stood in its own grounds, overlooked by larger commercial towers on all sides, but surrounded by a scratchy kind of ornamental garden. Its signage was tired, and one of the pale pink lumen tubes over the entrance lobby had blown. A few ground cars were parked in the lot, most looking fairly smart, smarter than his, at any rate. Zidorov got out, secured the Luxor, and walked in through glass doors. He used his iris to run a covert scan as he went, picking up nothing more than a few intruder detectors lodged high in the building's rock-crete fascia. Inside was a dingy waiting room with a brown-tiled floor and a few faded pics on the walls depicting youthful, smiling bodies gamboling across beachfronts. A few people sat on plastic chairs, none of them either smiling or youthful. One man looked like his face had been stretched badly, and he wore bandages around his neck. Another woman had half a scalp shaved, with a long suture line across the skin. Zidorov smelt the faint whiff of chems, just like in the Bastion's Medicaid bay. A reception desk took up space towards the rear of the chamber, and he walked up to it. A man in a Medicaid tabard sat at it.
"Can I help you?" he asked in a tone of voice that suggested he'd rather not.
"I need to speak to Ser Paravov. Is he in?"
"He is, but you'll need an appointment."
Zidorov showed him his seal. "I don't think I will."
The orderly's eyes widened. He hesitated. Then he put a message through. Zidorov heard a muffled response over the comlink, and then the orderly looked up at him.
"Go straight through, probator. Last chamber along the corridor."
Zidorov followed the directions. Beyond the waiting chamber was a long corridor with many doors branching from it. The smell of chems grew stronger. A number of the doors were of heavy-grade construction and had security locks on them. More than you'd need, he guessed, for just keeping regular narc-heads out. The floor was plasticky but tidy. The walls hung with standard ministerium injunctions about bodily cleanliness being part of spiritual holiness. One of the lumens flickered in there too. Was he the only one that noticed these things? Paravov's private chamber was behind a standard plastic panel door. Zidorov went through without knocking and entered a small room stacked heavily with locked filing cabinets. Somewhat lost in the middle of those was a desk at which sat Paravov himself. He was a shrewish man with a balding pate and a long avian nose. He wore Medicaid robes, which looked just about clean enough. His face was jowly and wrinkled, and he had a pronounced overbite. It was odd, Zidorov reflected, that rejuve merchants so rarely looked after themselves the way they did their patients. Then again, they knew what was in the elixirs.
"A probator," said Paravov in a reedy, ingratiating voice. "How can I help you?"
Zidorov pulled up a chair and sat opposite him. He looked around him. The room smelled musty. Over the desk hung an icon depicting the angel Sanguinius, something of a patron saint for medical practitioners. Its mournful painted eyes looked out over a scene of ingrained shabbiness.
"How's business?" Zidorov asked.
Paravov shrugged.
"Oh, not so bad, not so bad."
He was nervous, but that was to be expected. Zidorov saw him struggle not to wring his hands together.
"I see you're working in rejuve," Zidorov said.
Quite so. I have the permissions if you wish to...
I'm sure they're in order," Zidorov smiled at him coldly. "Not that they're worth much, are they?"
Paravov had the wherewithal to look affronted.
"I can assure you that..."
"It doesn't matter. I might take a look at them later. I want to know about the market."
"The market?"
"The market for your supplies. I understand it's been difficult, is that right?"
"It has been. We try to keep the prices down, but the permits take longer to come through than they used to."
"What's the cause of that?"
"I'm not a void merchant, probator."
"I understand that. What do your suppliers tell you?"
The man looked like he knew he was being manoeuvred into a trap and spoke cautiously.
This is between ourselves, right? I'm no expert, but they tell me the off-world routes are all compromised. Nothing much coming in, not much going out. I'm talking the sector trade. It happens from time to time, but it seems worse than I've known it anyway. Prices for raw inputs are high."
"So, where do you get your supplies?"
"I try to stay diversified."
"That's not an answer."
For the first time, Paravov's irritation got the better of his fear.
"It's business, probator. Everything's on the level here."
"Glad to hear it. I might want to talk about that some more, too. But right now, I'm here to learn about non-licensed rejuve therapies, the kind that takes plasma and stems from live subjects."
Paravov looked disgusted.
"Vile,"
he said.
"You wouldn't have anything to do with that, even if the prices were getting so high you couldn't turn a profit any other way."
He whitened a little.
"No, of course not."
Zidorov leaned forward. Nonchalantly, he reached for his Tsarina, turned it over in his hand before placing it on the desk between them.
"But you're an expert in your field," he said.
"You hear things from those with fewer scruples than you have. You want to know what's going on."
I wouldn't know."
"But don't you dare lie to me," said Zidorov calmly. "I'll have a squad down here in 5 minutes, and those locked doors would be open before you could even switch the cold storage off. You can make me do that, and we'll finish the conversation up at the Bastion. Or we can pretend you're not a scrap of filth for just a little longer."
Paravov swallowed. He was trembling now, his mind no doubt racing down some dark alleys.
"Hypothetically, you mean?"
he said.
"I see. Well, I do hear things. if I were so inclined and wanted to look into it, I believe it would be harder than ever even to get hold of these inputs. What do they call the production process? Cell draining. Bad practice. I heard it had been driven out of Varangantua, but then the imports slow, prices rise. I guess some are tempted. Here's the problem, though. It's war out there. You must already know this.
Just explain it to me, as if I didn't.
So, I was told there was enthusiasm for reviving it, a cell draining. But it's not easy. You still need slate and experience to set it up. Get it wrong, and all you've done is murder a lot of young bleeders for nothing worth using. You need to invest and get the right machines, and they're not easy to come by. Then you need to keep it hidden and find a way to get the product out to those immoral enough to buy. And then you have to find a way to launder the slate, so you need other activities, industries you can funnel the coin through. Anyone doing it is already rich.
Give me some names.
I don't know any.
Zidorov picked up his Tsarina, and Paravov panicked.
I don't know any. How could I? But look, I did hear things. I heard that three cartels had got into it. Zinzin, Chaxia and Vidora. They all wanted a piece, and it was brutal for a while. They were moving bleeders around a lot, and no one made any money, because they had to fight so hard to hold on to what they had. It could be bigger than Topaz, this racket, but it's too vicious.
The Vidora, said Zidorov.
They're still in this.
I don't know. They were, I was told, but I don't know. The word out there is that someone else is playing the game now, someone new.
And you can't give me the names?
I don't know. I don't know. If I did, I'd...
He almost said it, blurted it out aloud. I'd buy from them.
Zidorov held the Tsarina up and made a great play of studying the inscriptions along the barrel.
But if you somehow found out, you'd be ready to report them, citizen, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Something I've never really understood, though. Why is it so much cheaper than the lab-grown stuff? I mean, you have to go through all that trouble, keep it quiet, run the risk of being caught.
Oh, lots of reasons. The base compounds, the separation machines, the tox filters, very few have access to that.
Paravov swallowed.
But if you can just take what you need fresh, you cut that all out. And then, if you can keep them alive, they just keep giving you more. That's what the clever ones do. They keep them alive for a very long time.
Zidorov felt sick again. He leaned forward. So, here's how it is. You'll get rid of anything lingering in those strongrooms. Anything that shouldn't be there, burn it. Then you'll reform your practices. You'll buy synthesized plasma and stem cultures from the authorized laboratoriums. And since you are clearly a pious man, I think a donation will be in order too. You are familiar with the seminary at Iventura? That would be a good place to choose. They have some members suffering from Silas syndrome. Something sent their way would be much appreciated. Now Paravov was looking completely miserable.
Where will I get the slate for that? Did you not hear me? Prices are through the...
For a big man, Zidorov could move fast enough when he wanted to. He was up on his feet, his gun jammed into Paravov's throat before the rest of the sentence could be wheedled out.
I can come back at any time, he said, hissing the words out. You hear that? Any time. So think about what you can afford and think about your choices.
Paravov stared up at him, pale and suddenly clammy.
Then I will, he squeaked.
Zidorov let him go, holstered his auto-pistol and adjusted his coat.
Silas syndrome, Paravov said, weakly, trying to salvage something. Accelerated ageing. I might be able to do something about that. I mean, to hide the visible effects anyway.
Zidorov looked at him witheringly. Just send the money. That way, it has a chance of doing something useful. Zidorov was on his way back to the bastion when confirmation of the meeting came in from von Geller. It was going ahead without delay, prompted, so they told him, by a sudden nervousness on the part of the Vidora that the entire thing was all some kind of hoax and that the raids were about to start up again. The light was failing by then, and the rain had started up in earnest, sluicing down the gutters along the transit ways, gushing hard when it hit the inlaid ground tracks. He pulled the lock ref from the transmission packet and realized he'd have to drive hard to make it in time. Castellan had selected a site on the fringes of the toxic zones, the Scarlands, the places so mutilated by industry that even the famously lackadaisical citizen safety boards had prohibited development and torn down the old manufactoria. The whole region was a wound now, a gouge that ran across a few thousand square yards of Jurgeina real estate, a monument to a long-run culture of hard exploitation without thought to consequences. He engaged both engines, and the Luxor growled, kicking up spray behind its thick wheel arches. It felt just then as if he'd spent far too long behind the wheel. His shoulders both ached, his legs felt cramped. He could do with a drink, could do with some more sleep, but knew already that the night would be a long one, and neither would be heading his way. Gradually, the habclaves around him degraded. The buildings went from tight-packed blocks of residential towers and commercial units to semi-industrial workshops and warehouses, to derelict old shells of places, their windows empty and their blackened walls punched through with wind-blown holes. The life slid out of everything, held back to where the lumens still glimmered and the roads were crammed with vehicles. Zidorov activated the ground car's enhanced atmosphere filters and switched on a tox reader. There wasn't much he could do about what it told him, but at least he'd know something about the level of filth he'd be breathing in. Eventually, he drew up at the lock ref he'd been given, a large cleared area sited between two huge building carcasses. The ground at his feet was a mix of pale gravel and masonry residue, now sodden from the rain. The tox reader clicked alarmingly. He got out of the Luxor, went to the hold, and pulled out a slimline rebreather. He strapped it on, tasting the old, half-perished latex where it pressed up around his nose and chin. He should have replaced it years ago. No one else was around. He checked the Tsarina over. He kicked his heels. He looked up and down. The building to the north, a few hundred yards off, must have been magnificent once. Maybe it had been an assembly hall or some kind of power reactor. You could still see glinting things in the soils around, heavy metals in nuggety heaps, spilled fuel stains. As he stared at them, he imagined the echoing life of the old place, the booms, the growls, the hammering of metal against metal. It took him a few moments to realize that the noise was getting real. He turned, seeing the pools at his feet start to tremble. Away to the south, something was sweeping towards him, lighting up the horizon with flood lumens, filling the air with the roar of turbines. After a few moments, the impressions clarified into the boxy outline of a bastion Zurov, hovering low, looking like some monstrous black insect in the rain, its weaponry and antennae hanging below it. Those things hadn't been built for either stealth or looks. As the gunship descended to ground level, the gravel was whipped up into flurries, and Zidorov wrapped his coat tighter around him. The turbines whined away to nothing, and access hatches sprung open. Sanctioners leapt down, helmet lumens flaring and weapons held ready. Zidorov recognised the livery of the Panthera on the shoulder pads and saw Adamir striding out among them. Von Geller descended a little more gracefully, her face hidden by a rebreather and scarf wrapped around her neck and over the helmet. "You made it, then," she said, not sounding overly pleased about it.
"Wouldn't miss it," Zidorov said. "Where are they?"
"They'll be here," she came to stand beside him. Her rebreather's visor looked fogged. "Met Yuti before?"
"Can't say I have."
"He's an interesting man."
"He's a violent man."
"All interesting men are violent."
"Is that right? You might need to walk me through that one."
Before she could answer, lights went on amid the ruins of the north building. Zidorov tensed immediately, wishing he'd had time to book proper protection from the armory rather than his standard flak shirt. The numbers matched up. Von Geller had brought six sanctioners with her, including Adamir, making eight in total from the bastion. Eight Fedora emerged to face them, on foot from the ruins. All of them were decked out in what looked like combat clothing. They carried knives openly. A few had lasguns of some kind, but they liked to blade the Fedora, and in any case the weapons were more for show than use. There was no mistaking Yuti. He was stripped to the waist, heavy set, his skin glistening as if it had been oiled. The rain trickled in long lines over his many tattoos, all picked out by the broad spectrum lumens carried on the sanctioner's shoulders. He wasn't as tall as Adamir. Hells, he wasn't as tall as Zidorov, but that didn't mean he couldn't have taken both of them apart without much disturbing the intricate pattern of blue-black ink on his skin. His eyes were dark, as if the pupils were unnaturally large. He was bald, and his neck bulged with shining muscle. He did not carry a weapon in his hands. It didn't look like he had one secreted in the cloth folds of his trousers either, but you could never be sure. He walked like a man who could summon a dagger from the rain itself. Vongela waited for him to approach.
"I'll do the talking," she said under her breath.
"Fine by me."
And then they were all standing facing one another in the drizzle, weapons held ready.
"Castellan,"
Yuti said, bowing fractionally.
"A citizen," replied Vongela, not bowing. "Tell me then, what's been going on?"
Yuti smiled. Zidorov watched him carefully. The man looked at ease, almost relaxed. The smile itself was a curious thing, entirely without warmth, but slippery and courteous in a practice kind of way. He found himself reminded of Mordak.
"I could ask the same thing," said Yuti, folding his arms. "But I'll get to the point. There's rules in this business. You know them, we know them. When they're broken, that's when the hells get let out. I accept that, but, and this is the truth, we haven't broken anything. So I need to know what you think has happened here."
"What I think has happened?" asked Vongela, giving him one of her very best cool stares.
"Yes, because on the blood of the Holy Throne, I have no idea."
Vongela folded her own arms, and the two of them suddenly looked like bookends.
"You can have no complaints. You take out one of ours, we take out 100 of yours. That's always been the arrangement."
"I could dispute the figures, but you'll have to tell me which one of yours we are supposed to have taken out."
"Sanctioner Rovac, 34 squad. Probator Borodina, still in intensive care. Believe me, if she dies, this is only going to get worse."
"I know neither of those names."
"Oh, come on," said Vongela. "Borodina had been working in the suborbitals for months. I'd seen her reports on what you're doing there. She was diligent, and you hadn't bought her off. She would have hurt you, Yuti, and all of it within your rules."
"I'll take your word for it. We didn't target her."
"Then there's the timing, right after we'd stumbled across cell draining by the Yizan cartel."
"That's not on our list of business activities."
"You have a list?"
"That's not on it. I very much disapprove of it."
Zidorov felt like stepping in. He'd seen the machines. He'd seen the second circle there. He kept quiet.
"Everyone I speak seems to disapprove of it," Vongela said. "Yet somehow it still keeps popping up."
"This isn't about the Yizan cell, though, is it?"
"Isn't it? That's what prompted all this."
"I'll say it again, Section Commander, just so we're clear. We didn't take out your probator."
"It was on your patch."
"Bad things happen from time to time. We can't prevent them all."
"Tell that to those you extort protection from."
Yuti grinned.
"Nice. But it's all true. We didn't do it."
Vongela stole a glance at Zidorov. For his part, he kept up the observation. He guessed that Yuti could lie like another man took a shower. His whole life was a confidence trick, a system of deceptions built around a code that had no origin in any law book and which could be dismantled whenever he had the need for it. And yet, there was nothing there, not the ghost of a falsehood. He looked like he believed it.
"And you control all your circles?"
Vongela pressed skeptically.
"If one of them had done this..."
"If one of my circles had killed a probator," Yuti said ominously, "without my express order and without some very good reason, I would have their head with me now, ready to hand over to you. I have spoken to every one of the First Circle, and they tell me no rogue agent was responsible."
He seemed to grow weary of the protestations of innocence.
"Now, I will not say it again. You can choose to believe what you want. You have set your dogs on us, full of righteous indignation, and we have held ourselves back, believing it all to be some kind of honest mistake that can get sorted out. But I do not come here with a begging bowl, Castellan. If this does not cease now, we shall be forced to defend ourselves. You can have your war if you want it."
That got Vongela's back up. She uncrossed her arms, looking like she might go for him. The Vidora stayed tight.
"Don't be stupid, Yuti," she said coldly. "I'd see you all hanging from the comms masts first. And don't tempt me. We know what you were doing in the Grade Eights. I could have launched all this just for that, and I'd have been within my rights."
She shook her head irritably.
"You'll need to tell me who went after my people."
Yuti smiled expansively.
"I wish I could, but that's your job, is it not? And it's hard for me to do anything right now with all this heat."
Vongela looked over at Zidorov. He hadn't been expecting to contribute, but here was an opening.
"Adiyed Tereshova," Zidorov said. That's the name that kicked this off. We'd go a long way to playing nicely together if you could tell us where he is now.
At that, Yuti looked genuinely nonplussed.
The Tereshova boy. What does he have to do with this?
He was mixed up with the Yizan cell. We know he's being held somewhere. Give him up and it'd restore some trust.
Yuti laughed. He looked at his bodyguards and shrugged.
See, if I knew who any of these people were or what they had to do with me, I might be able to get this all sorted out.
First Circle Silka would know the name, Zidorov said. Is she here?
Yuti lost his smile.
Silka? No, she's not here, Probator. How could she be? Your people killed her.
Again, that looked genuine. Zidorov almost asked him if he could provide proof, but held back. Things were already tense, and everyone was armed.
Yuti turned back to Von Geller. So, you see, we've all suffered. This is the business we chose, so I'm not making any special pleading, but we didn't kill your sanctioner. As a result, I'd appreciate an end to all this nonsense.
Yes, you made your case, Von Geller shot back. We'll take another look, see if there's anything we missed. But don't think for a moment I'll take my finger off the trigger. I've got a dozen analysers looking at what Borodina was working on before she was hit. And if any of it leads back to you, or if I get hard evidence of cell drains in Yorgeyina, the word war won't begin to cover it.
He looked her straight in the eye. I believe you mean that, Commander.
Every word, said Von Geller, looking straight back.
After that, Von Geller didn't hang around. The Yorov's engines powered up, and the rain skipped and fizzed around the turbine intakes.
Yuti and his entourage walked back into the shadows, gradually diminishing into the gusty darkness. The sanctioners watched them go, before backing towards the gunship's hold, their weapons raised the whole time. Von Geller wiped the rain from her visor.
Worth coming along? She asked him. Zidorov checked the tox counter. It was worryingly high.
Maybe. Do you believe him?
Von Geller laughed. I'll think about it. We could do with a pause, if only to rearm.
He wanted to talk.
I would too in his position.
Then she was gone, climbing up the steps and being swallowed by the gunship's interior.
Zidorov stumbled out of the range of the intakes, steeling himself against the blast of takeoff. He reached the sanctuary of the Luxor, bundled himself inside, and turned the environment controls on. It was only once the console had warmed up that he spotted the message sent over a personal channel. He immediately thought it was Malija, but it turned out to be Vipa. She's waking up, was the terse content. Get here quick. You'll be the first. Before the Ordex cut out, he'd already started both engines.